All right, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Looks like we have a quorum and everybody that's expected is here. Stephanie, can you go ahead and call roll?
Smith.
Here.
Sherwood.
Here.
McBride.
Here.
Moss.
Here.
Moore.
Here.
Cable and Mins absent.
All right. Thank you. Are there any proposed changes or modifications to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none. Well, agenda stands approved. The minutes from last month's record-setting meeting, 19 minutes long. Can I have a motion on the meetings?
Move to accept.
Second.
Who was that? Is that? So we have a motion by, was it McBride? Or okay, so motion by Moss and a second by McBride. Sorry, Doug. Can we have a roll call? Not a roll call vote. Can we just have a voice vote? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Minutes are approved. Now is the time for public comment for anything that is not currently on the agenda. So is there any public comment for anything that we're not already planning on discussing? Okay, none. We move on. Now we move on to the public hearing for sub 10-19, 8th edition to Country Estates Minor Subdivision Plat. Turn the time over to Amelia.
Okay. So this is a minor subdivision plat. The applicant and property owner is Colleen and Paul Grady, and it's in the fourth addition to Country Estates. It's lots 3 and 4. The address is 2166 Quail Ridge Road. The location is, again, in the Country Estates subdivision. If you're not familiar, if you go up Dayton Avenue, it's on the west side of the road by Peterson Pits and the South Skunk River. It's south of 180th and north of 190th. And I do have a little star on the map to show you, too. So the minor subdivision is proposed to create two lots from one existing parcel. Proposed lot one is 1 net acre and would be considered buildable for a new single family dwelling. Proposed lot two would then be 15.44 net acres and would contain the existing dwelling built in 1997 by the applicant at 2166 Quail Ridge Road. The existing parcel consists of two adjoined lots in the fourth addition to Country Estates. The property owner built their dwelling over the lot line, so that's why they can't be separated out back into the original configuration. The daughter of the applicant plans to construct a dwelling on the new lot, and a minor subdivision is required besides the dwelling being on the lot line. At the time of approval of the fourth addition of Country Estates, the Board of Supervisors didn't grant permission for the division to happen through an administrative process. If that's the case, oftentimes subdivisions can go through a plat of survey to be divided once again after they've been platted, but that's not the case here. So we're doing a minor subdivision to do the division. So this is the lot configuration currently. It's outlined in blue. The red dashed line is the lot lines of lot 3 and 4 that were combined to create this parcel. And this is the proposed configuration. Proposed lot one is at the northern portion of the property. They selected this location to impact the fewest number of trees. And you'll also see that there is a shared access. The proposed lot one will share this access with lot two, and lot two does have frontage through this narrow strip of land that leads back to the dwelling and the larger buildable area of the lot. This configuration is typically discouraged, but again, it was done to ensure the lot had frontage, which is required, and so that lot one could impact the fewest number of trees and natural resource area with the new dwelling. And this is the plat showing the same configuration. This is the natural resources area. This is actually a map from our watershed assessment. You can see in green is the environmentally sensitive area. The lot is essentially an environmentally sensitive area, with the exception of the driveway to the dwelling and the dwelling itself. However, less than 15% of the vegetative cover will be impacted with the construction of the new dwelling because of the location they've selected. And really only 1 to 2 trees will be impacted. So there's no mitigation plan required. But it does have the most acreage of natural resources area in the subdivision. And the lot actually has the second highest percentage cover at 88% coverage by environmentally sensitive area. So the lot location was an important decision for the property owner given the natural resources on the property. This is the proposed dwelling. They have not submitted a zoning permit yet, but they did submit these plans. So it's an image of what the dwelling would look like. It would be 90 feet in width and 30 feet in depth, 2 stories, so 27 feet. And they did propose it to be set back approximately 80 feet at its closest point to the front lot line. Since they are doing this kind of unique configuration with the lot to protect trees, there will be some tree coverage remaining in front of the dwelling to provide screening, but the eastern portion of the lot would probably be the most visible because there aren't so many existing trees in that portion. This is a map of surrounding land use in the Country Estates subdivision, all 6 additions to the subdivision. There's 58 single-family dwellings. All lots are zoned AR, agricultural residential, so there's a 1-acre minimum lot size. However, the average lot size is 3.29 acres, and the lots range from 1.28 to 16.44 acres in size. The 16.44 net acre lot is the property that's being proposed to be subdivided, so it's the largest lot in the subdivision. I did want to highlight there are 15 lots between 1.28 and 2 acres in size. They're highlighted in aqua here. You can see they're along Quail Ridge Road mainly, and down here again is the subject property proposed to be divided. Looking more closely at the 4th addition to Country Estates, which is the subdivision addition that the subject property is located in, the other lots in the subdivision range between 2.2 and 16.44 acres, so they are large. The setbacks of the houses are very large as well. The average front setback is 300 feet from the front property line. And I think overall the character of the Country Estates subdivision, as you've seen, most of the lots exceed the minimum 1 acre in size. The setbacks are very large. There's natural resources areas and winding roads that provide screening and separation between these dwellings and lots that creates a unique character. I put a star over the existing dwelling here and then just listed some of the other lot sizes and circled where the dwellings are located so you could get a feel for how they're set back currently on these lots in the 4th addition. Here are some site photos. This is looking west on Quail Ridge Road and looking east from the driveway. This is looking north across Quail Ridge Road. There is an existing dwelling across the road from proposed lot 1. This is looking southwest on proposed lot 1 and southeast, so you can see the existing tree cover. This is looking northwest from the driveway, and again looking towards that dwelling across the way from the proposed lot. There is a drainage way at the rear property line, it's hard to get a picture when there's so many trees, but just so you have a feel, there are some steep slopes in the rear of the lot line, and there's an easement over that drainage area so that you can't build in that area. And this is looking east on the lot, so the dwelling will fit kind of in this clearing area in here. So that you can see there are existing trees, especially on the proposed western side of the dwelling, that the plan is to maintain those. And this is the existing dwelling on proposed lot 2. You can get a feel for some of the trees around the existing dwelling. This is looking southwest of the dwelling. And there is significant slope behind that dwelling as well, and some thick forested areas as well. This is the backyard before the slope really starts to drop off. We routed this request for interagency review and conceptual review with other county departments. The Environmental Health Department noted that the septic application will be required when the zoning application is submitted because it is just one additional lot in this subdivision. Our department did have several questions about if alternative locations for the lot were considered, if a larger lot was considered, or even if something like an addition to the dwelling was considered to accommodate the daughter. The subject property is topographically challenging. The southern third of the property has really steep slopes, and so does the eastern side, and there's two drainage ways on the southern part of the property. There is that location northwest of the dwelling. There is a look that may be suitable for a dwelling. However, this location would affect significant trees. And the property owner had concerns about privacy, having a lot closer to their own house. So there's really, given the natural resources and neighboring properties, there isn't an ideal location for a new dwelling. But the property owner has, you know, selected this location based on where they will impact the fewest number of trees and where they can do a shared driveway. We did mail notice to property owners within a quarter of a mile, and we've received several letters, which I provided to you in the opposition. I will just summarize these letters. The main concerns are the covenants that apply to the subdivision. So on that, the county doesn't administer or enforce covenants. Those are up to the homeowners association and private property owners to enforce. We confirmed this with the assistant county attorney. So it's not a standard that the boards really give to consider. Because those are privately enforced, they're not an adopted regulation or a requirement by Story County. The covenants do say that no lots shall be subdivided. Planning and development staff informed the applicant about the restrictive covenants and asked if they had consent from the homeowners association as part of the conceptual review process. We did this because we want to let folks know the full picture and the process involved. You know, subdivisions are expensive, and we want folks to know everything that's involved, even though we don't enforce the covenants. I think it's similar to when somebody would come in for a zoning permit. We don't have a building code adopted in Story County, but we give them the card for the electrical inspector and say, hey, you need to reach out and get an electrical inspection through the state of Iowa. It's not ours to enforce, but we want to make sure we're serving folks as best we can and giving them knowledge of everything that may be required or to be successful. The other main comment that we received is about the concern of the view across Quail Ridge Road to that adjacent property of the north, and just the size of the lot being the minimum 1 acre. So staff recommend a condition that the lot be increased to a minimum size of 2 acres to be more uniform with the other lots in the subdivision. Some further analysis before we get into the recommendation. All standards in the land development regulations for minor subdivisions are met by this request, and the county does not enforce restrictive covenants. Again, this is one additional lot that's proposed being created. It's the minimum 1 acre in size that's required, and it is buildable for a new dwelling. The lot location at the northern portion of the property was selected to protect the existing natural resources cover. as was the dwelling design, to be kind of longer to fit into the existing trees on the property. The location will cause the new dwelling to be seen from adjacent properties across Quail Ridge Road to the north, and it is a smaller lot and has a reduced setback than is typical of the fourth addition to Country Estates. Overall, in Country Estates, again, there's a 3.29 average acre lot size, and the minimum lot size is 1.28, the smallest lot. In the fourth addition, where the subject property is located, the lots are even larger. So the minimum, the smallest parcel, is 2.2 acres. And while there may be other locations on the lot that would make the dwelling less visible to the north, it may still be visible to the west. We may impact additional significant trees. And so staff has concluded that while there might not be a better location, the larger lot size would be more consistent with adjacent lots and the character of the subdivision. And so that's staff's recommendation. It's approval of the subdivision with a condition that the applicant shall submit a revised subdivision plat for consideration by the Board of Supervisors, increasing the proposed lot size to a minimum of 2 acres. And with that, I can take any questions.
So, Amelia, when you were discussing this, you said you asked the applicant for minutes or a response from the HOA. Mm-hmm. When the HOA was given the master plan or the request. But you didn't tell us what the response from the applicant was when you asked for that information.
Sure. The applicant's attorney did not have that information to provide. And
is the applicant's attorney here?
No.
No.
Is the applicant here?
Yes. And again, we talked to the assistant county attorney that stated we don't enforce those. It's not something that we would, the county would.
So we didn't get an answer to that. We didn't get an answer to the question about when.
But it's also not a standard that the commission or board is assigned to consider under the land development regulations, because the Story County Code hasn't adopted the covenants.
HOAs.
Yeah.
HOA covenants are not code, and we evaluate development based on code. So
we asked, but it's not required.
With the configuration of the lots, subdivision. I know that we normally discourage the flagpole lots. What is the reasoning that we normally discourage those?
Because it is this narrow piece of frontage that it can create access issues back to a dwelling. It also isn't the most desirable lot design when you have the buildable area for another lot, right, situated right in front of the buildable area for your lot. It's not the most efficient lot design either in terms of, you know, getting an actual road that lots front on individually versus having this long easement that you might have one or two houses that both take access off of.
Okay. So is the protection, because the reason given why that was done was because building in that in the designated location was more desirable to protect trees. So my question is it more desirable to protect trees than to have properly designed platting for the subdivision?
I think staff also looked at another location because of the topography. There's really not a whole lot of choices in terms of where you would build, and given that the existing dwelling is located over the lot line, I don't know. I'll just go back to it here. There's kind of a clearing here.
Right.
I don't know that building in that location or having a lot in that location would make this not a flag lot either, right? Because this is their driveway.
Right.
So somebody's going to have a narrow frontage if they're driving, if they're sharing an access, because to put an access through here out to the road, you're going to take out a lot of significant trees. We're probably going to get into mitigation requirements at that point.
Right. The last one was you mentioned that the standard or the minimum setback for the other houses in this phase were 300 feet?
Average of 300. There are some that are over, just about over 100, 130 feet from the front property lines. I think the one across the street is about 130, and this one might be about 100 feet setback from the front property line. So the proposed lot, I believe, is approximately 80. I scaled it based on that drawing. Again, we don't have a zoning permit in, but that was submitted by the builder as the proposal. It's not a zoning permit, hasn't been issued yet or finalized, but.
Mm-hmm. Emily, so is the county attorney here?
No.
I don't completely understand why we're here. This seems
Thank
to,
you.
Yeah, this to me sounds like somebody is trying to get some evidence in a court case down the road. I don't understand this. Mm-hmm. I understand we don't. It's obvious from the letters from the neighbors here that they're not going to put up with this, and there is going to be some litigation over it. I don't understand, and I find it kind of offensive that the applicant has even brought this to us at this point when it's clear that the neighbors are completely against it and the HOA covenants are against it. I don't understand why we're here. And I guess I'd like to hear from the applicant if he's willing to explain this to us.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
And I wish the county attorney was here. Or there was a letter that explains why they're not.
Are there any additional questions for staff on the presentation? All right. Thank you, Amelia.
Thanks.
Could I ask what a significant tree is?
You'll have an opportunity to speak in a second, sir. So staff has made their presentation. Now is the time for public comment. If you'd like to comment on this, then please step to the podium and give your name and address for the record, and feel free to begin.
Should I go first? Yeah. Oh. I'm the applicant. I'm Paul. Excuse me.
Step to the podium because there's microphones.
It's okay.
This has been a long process.
Okay, so there's a microphone. There's a microphone at the podium that records this for Iowa State regulations. Okay. So please state your name and your address and from the podium.
My name is Paul Brady. I'm 2166 Railroad
Road. Thank you.
And like I said, it's been a long process. I bought the property in 96 and started building in 97. And two lots. And I, side by side, never thought this occurrence would happen. And so I built the house right in the middle of both properties. And my wife has significant health problems, and I'm starting years ago, but now in recent it's gotten significantly worse. And my daughter from Austin, Texas, has stated that she would love to come and help support and take care of her mom. And I said, well, gee, this would be great. And I think that we should be able to make the property in front, to make it close so you have great access to your mother. My daughter is on social media, so she would be available regularly. And so I originally went to the board quite a while back, and my impression at that time from several of the board members that this shouldn't be a problem. Twist the lots, and the two lots. You always had two lots. You always paid for two lots. And taxes, it shouldn't be a problem. They just twist the lots. And then everything got complicated. And so I started going through the hoops and the storytelling. They wanted to make it a major or minor subdivision. And all of a sudden, it really started getting complicated. I never dreamed this would be a problem like this. The reason I'm trying to keep the larger lot completely isolated is my wife's condition here, the world is contracting all the time. And I want to keep my wife's separate and from her daughter, their privacy maintained. And I think it's significant that they're coming out here to help she and her significant other. And so I'm trying to keep their residency same. And I asked the engineers to, I need at least 1 acre. And they interpreted it as 1 acre. And so I put 1 acre. Now I could, if I'd known that, I would at least need 1.3 acres easily enough because I put it on the other side of it. You have a picture there. I mean, I can maybe put a picture.
Sure.
Can you talk a little louder, please, sir?
Okay.
Thank you.
So I usually put me at 1.3 acres and at least make it equivalent to any to another property less than that. So there's kind of a natural, there's a creek that runs. Creek that runs down here, in water. And in fact, there's this kind of a residual little fence that's left from that property. And then you get into.
Sir, can you not touch the screen with the pencil, please?
Oh.
Thank you.
Yes.
I do. Here. Oh, thanks, Stephanie. I know this neighbor right here has problems with the view of our land here. And so I'm trying my best to couch this house back behind these trees. And in fact, I'm trying to make the driveway, I'm taking the driveway here so they don't have to see a driveway. And I'm meeting all the requirements. I know there's this thing about knowing why it's subdivided, but you know, I probably officially define a minor subdivision. Like I said, I've had this property since 1996, and I mean, I don't understand why I just can't move it. So essentially, it's making it sound like I've only had one property, one lot this whole time. This is a reserve, and these are big. Oh, shoot, sorry. These are big evergreens along here, and some maples. And if you built the thing, you'd have to tear off some of these to get back in here. So that's not feasible. I mean, if it meets the requirement, everything else, I don't know why it should be made to make a request to put the property there anyway. Plus, I'm trying to keep this area totally unusual because of the trees and the landscape.
Anybody have any questions?
I think I asked mine earlier. And Dr. Gray, I want you to know, I sympathize with your situation, and I have listened to this. But I guess I don't understand if the HOA made it clear that this is not going to happen from their standpoint, why would you bring this here? And my second question is, why isn't your attorney here?
Well, I'm not sure why. Because, well, I do know. For some reason, he wasn't told until I called him yesterday. He didn't know anything about this meeting.
Okay, so let me stop right there before you go. Amelia, is it possible that maybe we kick this to the next meeting and we allow Dr. Grady's attorney to be here as well? Because we are in some really uncharted territory.
And that may be helpful.
I'd love to hear from the rest of the neighbors, who I'm guessing all you folks are, but I don't want to.
So when we get to our discussion, we can have this discussion. For right now, let's keep it to public comment.
Fair enough.
Okay. Does anybody?
Just answer the second part of the question.
Sure.
When I started this, like I said, the board was not opposed to this. It made it sound like this should not be a complication. Or just switch, just turn the property around and come back. And so I went with it. I went through the hoops of going through Story County and doing all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, this has changed. This atmosphere has totally changed.
You know why?
I'm not sure why. But this was not the way it was originally. This was not supposed to be a complicated situation. You had like two lots, and you always, like I say, always pay for two lots. And what happened to the two lots? Okay.
All right. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to comment?
John Tedden. I live in the third edition of the Homeowners Association. For 3 years, I served as president of the Homeowners Association quite a few years ago. And I want to go on record that although I sympathize with the situation that Dr. Grady is in, I am opposed to what he's proposing here. I think it would undermine the integrity of our neighborhood. I was involved in writing the covenants when we rewrote them and combined them all for the different editions, and having a lot that small at the very front with that small of a front edge would just damage, I think, the rest of the neighborhood's values. So I just want to go on record saying I'm opposed to this.
Are you speaking for the HOA or individually?
I'm speaking only of myself.
And you are the president of the HOA?
Former.
I am former.
I'm sorry, I couldn't catch it.
No longer.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I'm Jane Matisse. I live at 6168 North Fort, which is within the quarter mile. And I came because I am not on the board of the Homeowners Association, but I do oppose the proposal just on the basis of precedent. There are large lots out there in that subdivision, and if I were a neighbor next door or down the road, I might think, no, I've got 8 acres. I don't use my 8 acres. Maybe I'd like to subdivide. And you start to do that, and you're doing the integrity of that neighbor. So I would ask that, I want to see the covenants enforced. They were created, we signed on to them when we bought the lots, and it's a difficult situation for the Grights, but it can be resolved in other ways. So, thanks.
Amelia, could you pull up a subdivision overview so maybe these folks can show us where they live?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's not it.
My name is Jennifer Martin, 2165 Quail Ridge Road. I've been a resident on Country Estate since the year 2000. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to raise comments concerning this proposal. taken from the Declaration of Covenants, Conditions and Restrictions of the Homeowners Association, section Residential Use and Division of Lots, paragraph 11. And it's clear, it's at one statement, no lots shall be subdivided, which I think is a very significant point in this application. The creation of an 8th edition and subdivision of the lots of 1 acre and 15.4 acres, I think it's not a minor thing. It's very significant because of the setting precedent and contrary to the agreement signed by all the homeowners, you know, on purchase of the, either the land or the properties. Dr. Wright also, he would have signed that declaration. Acceptance allowing smaller 1 acre lot subdivisions as a precedence, we feel encourages other small divisions in new house builds which are contrary to the agreements of the covenants. Another concern, except possibly Amelia's clarified one of these points, is that there are two drainage areas that run outside the 1 acre lot parallel to Quail Ridge Road. The one between Dr. Bright's property, the first one, is a significantly deep ditch. It carries a lot of storm water. I was there last week when there was a storm and the water was rushing down. And that, you know, question whether or not the disturbance of land in that area for excavating for home construction could, in actual fact, affect that drainage. There were problems before on another side of the division with drainage, and, you know, it was safe. We didn't want a repeat of anything, you know, in that vein again. And the closeness of the road to the property also, you know, it has to be close to the road in order to, because part of that 1 acre does include that ditch drainage. Consideration of additional lots should take into account the views of others in throw on the subdivision, and I know it did go out. It was only people a quarter of a mile away, but it's this knock-on of this could affect the whole division, not just the immediate area where we live, which is closer to Dr. Bright's proposed property.
Could you show us where you live, ma'am?
Sorry?
Could you show us where you live?
Oh, yeah. I live... here, in this room here.
Thank you.
You know, another thing I'd like to add is the homeowners do appreciate and wish to maintain the character of the country estates, open space and landscape, and, you know, the tranquility of the place is very much valued. And it's the opening the door to other people wanting to subdivide lots and find a way around it is a concern to us, and this could set this precedence. Thank you very much for listening anyway.
Thank you. Anyone else?
My name is Chad Schneider. I'm an attorney at Hastings Garden Center. I represent the HOA. I've been authorized by them to come and speak to you all. When this proposal was first brought to the board, as Dr. Reddy pointed out, in essence, they were in agreement with it because he did have the two lots. Now, when the covenant says that you can't subdivide a lot or any part of a lot that has been added to that lot from the adjoining lot, however they look at it and said, well, he does have two lots. So in principle, they agreed that to entertain the idea of this minor subdivision. However, when the proposal was presented to the board, I think it wasn't much over 2 weeks ago, can we go to the plat? So when they received this plat, in essence, it wasn't quite what they had expected. So when they had imagined him building on the lot, they had imagined probably a more equal division of the two lots and reapportioning them. If you look, and we can share one. just real briefly, just to give you, so that you know that both sides are talking, I have sent a, basically a counter proposal to Dr. Grady's attorney, in which the division of the lots, especially the creation of this lot one here, would be more along the lines of along this area here. It would be closer to his home, but it would actually be more proportional and probably create a lot size that's around 5 acres in size. Not only is the lot size of concern, also the position of the home, because of many of the issues that have been brought forward, is less than ideal. And even though it might require mitigation of more trees, there would be a site possibility for the home on this side, which would eliminate, I think, a vast majority of the concerns of those in the neighborhood, because it would not affect the sight line of, for instance, the neighbors across the street. It has been said that, you know, Dr. Grady wants to maintain his privacy because he doesn't want, you know, anything closer to his, because down the road there's a possibility that he could sell that property. Well, I think it's difficult to expect then the neighbors across the street then to accept that if he's not willing to accept it himself. There's several other factors, I think, in agreement with this that have already been said as far as changing the nature and basically the scheme of development that was expected in the neighborhood, possibly devaluing of properties because of, especially the one across the street and maybe other neighboring ones because of the change of the nature of the lots and the sight lines and things like that. I think the reasonable alternative to building in this area here, even though you'd have to mitigate some trees, I think that was put in the plan where they were to catalog the trees and then replace them as required. That's a possibility. I think naturally for the site, it kind of actually is a more natural place that a home would be. There could be an agreement that's made. If we can switch to the driveway, show the driveway.
Excuse me, could you show me where you're proposing?
On this side of the ravine here, in this area, rather than squeezing it in here, so it would be across the ravine. So this ravine goes right through here that was referred to, that a lot of water drains to this area here, that could be a building site here. I think the reason that's not initially considered is because of the number of trees there.
I can't see on the red.
Well, it's right here. This area, on the, so it'd be the southwest side.
Okay.
Go ahead and move your seat if you want. You can sit right up front and get a better angle.
I think some of this stems from, obviously, when the home was built here, this wasn't in the plan. He built on the, basically on the lot line between the two, the run between the two. I guess some of the things that he wants to maintain for this, he's going to have to sacrifice a little bit because it's him sacrificing, not the rest of the neighborhood. As far as the driveway here, you can see that it already is on the lot line, so I don't know if there's a shared driveway agreement that's in place, but you can easily have a shared driveway agreement between the owner of this lot and the owner of this lot, and if this house were put here, you could share this driveway here and then just branch off here, so it wouldn't require even an addition of an extra driveway at all. There could just be a shared driveway agreement between the three. I'm not sure about the frontage requirements as far as zoning and planning as far as this, but you could eliminate this, even the flagpole, and just have the lot line be somewhere across here.
That's not permitted.
Because you have to have frontage. Mm-hmm. All right, so you have to keep this, the little flagpole. But then this could be extended up here and increase this lot size to probably what is more than norm for the subdivision and the greater country estates, all the other subdivisions within it. I think, too, there's an issue that has not been approved as far as the, not only the site, but the building of the home, because I think there doesn't quite meet all the requirements under the HOA for building a home. I think one of the requirements is it has a 3-car garage, not just a 2. But I haven't seen the exact plans for that. So the HOA at this time is not opposed to the idea of this. It's just that the basically, what has been presented now has not been accepted by the HOA. It's likely not to be accepted by them.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Bruce Gantron. I'm past president of the Homeowners Association of 2040 Quail Ridge Road, which is in the far north east corner of the development. That helps there. Now, if we can go back to the original lots.
This one?
If Mr. Wright or Dr. Wright has said that he has two lots, and he does, if he had built his house slightly to the west and kept not combining the two lots for tax purposes, we wouldn't even be here talking about this, I don't think, because you would have two lots.
And, but that's sort of not relevant.
What? Keep going. Keep going on this. In which case, this space here and this space here would not be a buildable lot for the original situation. That said, when we envisioned, when was originally proposed to the board, we had thought it would make more sense. All it had to do was slightly move this, you know, to adjust the lot line a little bit to sell a small portion of the land from one lot to the other. That was what was originally proposed. That seemed reasonable, but what we saw 2 weeks ago doesn't quite match what we originally thought.
Sir, when you say that was proposed to you, when do you mean? Are we talking back in the 1990s, or are we talking 2 weeks ago?
We're talking earlier this summer, you know, the original. The question is, do you see any problems with having two housing sites on this? Well, you have two lots, and if...
But you made the statement that the lot was combined into one.
For tax purposes, is the lot not combined into one?
Okay, thank you.
And
okay. So the other question was, did you see this kind of drawing or something similar to this? Or was it just proposed, I have two lots, would it be all right to build another house on the... I mean, how was that proposed?
It was basically said, you know, we'd like to build a second house, but we've got an issue with the house we built being too close to the center of it, being built on the property line between them.
So I guess my question is, was the assumption from the Homeowners Association when it was presented that there are two lots and you just redivide them and then build on one lot that you're not already built on? Was that... I'm just curious. It doesn't have a bearing on our code, but.
The assumption I made on this is similar to the problem of if the lots are poorly laid out or poorly marked, and somebody builds the driveway and it turns out 2 feet of the driveway is in fact on the neighbor's property, you'll frequently see people transfer 2 feet from one lot to the other. And I guess our original assumption, my original assumption was, we were going to have to be transferring a few feet of the property from one lot to the other in order to have combined or to have adequate setbacks.
All right.
Can I ask a question, Seth?
Sure.
When these lots were combined, now, the thing I've always heard is if you own two lots, the good protectivist tactic is you have one lot in the husband and wife's name and the other lot in the other spouse's name, which keeps the city or whatever administrative district from administratively combining the lots. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the reason for these lots being combined was?
These? Because the house is built over the property line. And there's setbacks required from property lines.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
My name's Richard Martin. I live in 2165 Quail Ridge Road. You've heard my wife speak. I just want to...
So I assume you live across the street as well?
I live across the street from Dr. Brighty. We are mostly concerned about the creation and the acceptance of new subdivisions on lots. That is our major concern. That is clearly not an agreement. It's counter to what's in the covenants, and that's my major point to emphasize, that creation of new subdivisions, new smaller lots, is not acceptable under the signed covenants. And that's my main point. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Scott Lawrence, 6213 North Fork Road.
Sorry.
Right.
I'm taking notes too.
I live right here. I'm a member of the board, and I just wanted to address the, you had had the question of when things were brought up. We had a meeting, I think, in the spring, early summer, late spring, to discuss, to have Paul come over and discuss this splitting of the building house there. We discussed it. We kind of made some comments. You know, we looked at the assessor site and kind of were doing this and doing that. And we said, you know, sure, we need to entertain it. But nothing was ever said, hey, we're going to do this or this or this. And then 2 weeks ago, I think it was on a Monday, the paperwork was due in to you guys, otherwise it wouldn't have got on the docket. And we get this email from our secretary saying, hey, we need to approve this so we can have it for tonight, so we can get it into you guys on time so it can be on the docket. So we've been under the gun, moving faster than anything the last 2 weeks, having to discuss all this stuff, and we were like last minute. And that's not how I do business. Sometimes when people are doing that, they're trying to get something under the radar. That's the way I felt. Also, as it off the board, privately, you know, I heard him say also, you know, I want my privacy. But what about Martin's privacy? He doesn't want his privacy encroached on, but he doesn't mind encroaching on other people's privacy. That spot where those cedar trees, I can walk in my yard and see probably 300 cedar tree seedlings coming up that I step on in my bare feet. And to get rid of a couple of cedar trees to build a house, I think they'll grow back. So, thank you.
Hello, I'm Marty Carney, 2200 Quail Ridge Road. Our property is this property that is adjacent to the Grays. We have a shared driveway with them that comes up, and we've been there the same length of time that they did. We bought our lot also in 1997, and we both lived at the same time. We are not opposed to this. I am opposed, as a subdivision, to having people be able to subdivide their properties. But Paul and Colleen have paid for two lots, the lot fees, for over 20 years, averaging, I think now they're 400, in the early days they were 600, 650, so they probably paid $10,000 in fees, but I think the, I'm hurting myself say this too, but the association does need to consider that, but there's been two lots there for over 20 years. And we're not opposed. I've watched Paul for 20 years. He loves people doing things. He loves nature, and he likes to preserve the big oaks, the hickories that are out there. I think that's more what he's thinking of, those big 100-year-old trees. It is, as I walk the neighborhood daily, there's 80-foot and 100-foot, Rory's house that is across the Martins is, I think you said 130 feet, and then up to the east of them is Rory's house. I would say that's, you said 100 feet. It doesn't seem like it's that much closer to the road.
All right, is there any other comments?
Can I make
one? Sure. Can you step to the podium, please, so it's recorded?
I guess I kind of represent that we're trying to do something on the radar here. I'm not trying to do something on the radar. I'm trying to get this. I was trying to move as fast as I could, understanding that. I mean, when I brought it originally again, I had a picture showing the outline that I was going to use, and I had it in. I had that drawn. I had it drawn out. I'm going to think exactly what I had, and that's feeling the statement there, this should be no problem. So I go through all the Surrey County thing, and I get an engineer to do the whole process. I'm going to say, the builder would like to start for a window. And so I'm trying to, so I'm not doing anything under the radar, and I'm just going to best as I can, having never done this process before. And I think if you look at this, like Martin said, a couple of these houses, there's a couple of houses that are not going to be any, couple of houses that are just as close as the house that I'm planning on building. And I guess I still do have respect for trees, even though we could step on cedars. So I just, like I said, this is a veteran from the Michigan Forest Reserve, and I'd like to keep it that. It's, I don't want to go into that, but it's not a matter of simple privacy here. It's a matter of a shrinking world here that I'm dealing with. So that's all I'm going to say.
All right. Thank you. Is there any other public comments before we move on? Okay. So now is the time for commission discussion. Before we begin, I just want to make two kind of reminders. One is for all of you, we are a recommending body, so the decision that we make is to either recommend approval or recommend approval with changes, or there's different recommendations that we can make. This goes to, is it the Board of Adjustment?
Supervisors.
Okay, so the Board of Supervisors will be the decision makers on whether this happens or not. We're here to hear your input and to hear the presentation and to make a recommendation to the board. And then they are the ultimate decision-making body. So because of that, we're going to make our recommendation tonight. And if it does go before the board, then the recommendation would be for you to attend that Board of Supervisors meeting as well, because they would also accept and listen to input. The other thing is, just as a reminder to us, that that the HOA, the covenants, essentially it's a civil agreement between the residents. And so we need to look at this from the planning and the county's position of planning and zoning of does it meet the normal consideration criteria that we use for zoning and adjustment changes. So thank you for putting that back up, Amelia. And so now let's go ahead and open for discussion. Doug, I know you had a question.
I've got a number of comments, but I just going to Mr. Schneider, am I correct in saying that this seems to be a timing issue from the standpoint of the neighborhood, in that there are some things that might be acceptable to, and I'm not speaking, we're not looking at this from the HOA standpoint, but I understand, as I said earlier, this seems to be like we are opening a can of worms in a really complicated legal issue. And I said it earlier, I'm not exactly sure why we're here at this point. And I correct in saying that with a little bit of time, and Amelia, I'm going to remind you of the alluvial situation a few years ago, with a little bit of time, it might be more beneficial for both the HOA and Dr. Grady to come back at a later date, having a few months to sort things out. Dr. Grady, I understand that your builder wants to start before snow flies. I have a very strong feeling that if this goes forward, you're going to end up in the Justice Center on the second floor sooner or later. And from what I'm hearing from Mr. Schneider speaking for the HOA, I think you guys would like to avoid that. I'm guessing, Dr. Grady, you don't want to be in litigation with your neighbors. So I would ask Amelia, several years ago, there was an issue with alluvial brewing that halfway through the meeting, it became obvious that some solutions could be arrived with a little bit of extra time between the parties. So I would suggest that maybe it's a good time for the board to take a 5-minute break to perhaps use the restroom, and then maybe you guys can decide if you would like to hold off for a bit.
That's really not one of the choices that we have. So what we
we did it before, did we, Amelia?
What we can do is we can remand the we can recommend and remand this back for further consideration.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
But that would take it. That would close it for this meeting, and they would have to come back at another time to do that. So,
Dr.
That
Daniel?
is an option. And if that's something that you want to do, let's go ahead and keep the conversation going. Mm-hmm. So we have chance if anybody else has a commitment. Otherwise, you can make that motion to.
Well, I have one more sentence. Very simple, but, Dr. Grady. I would recommend. I think you might be better served with your attorney here. This is a very complicated issue.
I agree with that. I didn't realize.
No, no problem. Things happen. You know, things get missed in schedules. But I do think you might be better served if your attorney was here as well. So that's all I have to say.
Okay.
My question. I guess two questions. I'm gathering we're kind of two different entities dealing with an issue with different mandates, mm-hmm. essentially. Given that, remind me about the drainage. Did it meet our requirements as far as?
For stormwater, you mean?
Yes.
It doesn't fall under the new ordinance because it's just one lot and they're not going to be grading over an acre. So there aren't stormwater management controls required, but we do have easements over the drainage areas to protect those, and that is something that's required in the code and was submitted as part of the subdivision.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the suggestion for the 2 acres instead, mm-hmm. is that based on from the standpoint of the planning and zoning?
Mm-hmm. We looked at the minimum lot sizes of the adjoining properties. The smallest one was 2.2 acres. Overall, they're larger in the subdivision, and the commission can formulate conditions based on comments that they received. Staff did receive those comments about the lot size being small that were provided to you at the meeting.
Somewhat based on the well-being of the community.
Based on the character of the area, mm-hmm. okay. and concerns brought forth by neighbors. And the condition, I just wanted to clarify, was that the applicant, because you all meet monthly, the recommended condition was that the subdivision plat, if it was revised to be a larger lot, could then be considered by the Board of Supervisors. You could certainly change that condition, though, if you'd like to hear this again. But I just wanted to clarify what staff's recommendation was.
So, Cheryl, they're saying we could recommend this with approval if the lot size was increased to a minimum of 2 acres, mm-hmm. and recommend that the Board of Supervisors approve it if that condition were met. Mm-hmm. And then they don't have to come back here with drawings and everything. They could get updated drawings with different lot size and then take that to.
So if we were to do that, then it would say.
It would shorten the timeline.
I'm just,
I don't imagine with the difference in the lot size that what we would hear would be different, and what we would consider based on the county ordinances would be different. Mm-hmm. We could make that recommendation so that the Board of Supervisors, what they would hear from us is, and from staff, because we would be aligned at that point, is. Go ahead and approve this as long as they've come back with the drawing. So if they don't come back with the drawing, then it would still be up to the Board of Supervisors whether to approve it with the current 1 acre or not.
Which is number two.
We could make that recommendation, right? Number two.
Let me go through the alternatives.
All right.
So the first one is just approval, recommending approval to the Board of Supervisors, not recommending that the plat is changed in any way. So the second option was staff's condition, recommend it based on the character of the neighborhood, that the lot size is increased to a minimum of 2 acres in size, and that the applicant submit a revised plat for consideration by Board of Supervisors. So with that alternative, you can certainly change the condition. You could change the recommended minimum lot size. Staff did look at, the smallest lot of the adjacent properties in coming up with that 2 acres. And you could certainly change it so that it came back to the Planning and Zoning Commission. You all meet monthly, and the Board of Supervisors meets weekly, is the difference there. As well as you might want to see it again. And the third option would be recommending denial of the plat, so it would still move forward to Board of Supervisors with a recommendation of denial in that current configuration. And the fourth option is remanding the minor subdivision plat to the next meeting in November, and you would direct the applicant and staff to work to provide additional information or additional modifications or changes.
So the request then is, if we select the remand option, it would be with additional guidance on
what we
would be looking to see differently than we saw this time.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then just again on the covenants issue, I just wanted to clarify one or two things. So again, we don't enforce the covenants. If there was any, the HOA would enforce them through legal action with, a private property owner if they chose to take that course. So that's not something the county would be involved in. Okay. And then I guess you can, not having, approval from your HOA isn't something that would stop somebody from making a submittal and going through that process. I suppose you can seek planning approval of a project prior to getting approval of the HOA, or vice versa. I think there was discussion about the house's location, and I just want to clarify that that is a separate process. It's an administrative process where you submit a zoning permit. If the lot size were increased, for instance, with the alternative that staff is recommending, that isn't dictating that the house has to be located anywhere else on the property. It's an administrative process. If you submit a zoning permit to our department and it meets the requirements, the minimum setbacks, that kind of thing, then it's approved.
And there's because the minimum setbacks are actually set by ordinance,
mm-hmm.
that's not something that we could say as a condition and say, as long as the minimum setback was 150 feet or...
The code of ordinances does allow you at the public hearing, based on comments you've received, to make conditions. And so if you feel you've received comments regarding the character of the area, I think you could make a condition based on that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would move that we take option number 4 and remand this with direction to the applicant that they work to resolve any issues in the neighborhood level and come back to us at the next meeting, hopefully with legal counsel present.
Okay, so we have a motion by Moore. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second by McBride. Can we take a roll call vote?
Moore.
Aye.
McBride.
Aye.
Moss.
Aye.
Smith.
No.
Sherwood.
No.
Okay, so I have a procedural question. Hopefully, Stephanie, you can answer this. Or Amelia, she just pointed at you, if you saw how quickly she did that.
She has her coat.
is, so we passed that with a majority of the
members
commission,
present.
The members present. So it, the motion then passes, right? It doesn't have to be a quorum, a minimum of, you know, a 4-4 because of our 7-member board, right? It's just a simple majority of those present.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that motion passes then. So the recommendation, this will then, correct me if I'm wrong, Amelia, will not go before Board of Supervisors.
It'll come back to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
It comes
on
back
the 6th
here
of November.
If you reapply it, then it will come back here on the 6th of November. And the recommendations to staff and to the applicant are that you use that time to work with the Homeowners Association to come to a better agreement. Also take into mind the recommendation by staff and I think the way that the commission was leading of having the larger lot size. And then you have an opportunity to come back and present this on as soon as the 6th of November. All right.
Marvin, excuse me. Mr. Schneider, if you're comfortable doing so, maybe you could advise the applicant's attorney of the date of that meeting. Thank you.
All right. Now is the time for staff comments.
I have a comment about the DOT tower.
I read that, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the DOT needs a backup system for 18 months once the state approves their new system on the tower. And so they think they'll get approval within the next couple months, and then after that, they have to have that backup tower for 18. So
okay.
It might be 24 months that you're still
looking
at
the
that.
Short answer is they're still using that tower as a backup.
Exactly.
Once the new system goes into place, which has not been signed off yet, they need to keep that running for an additional 18 months. So we're looking at a minimum of 18 months, likely 24 months for that tower too. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That again, that was just my own curiosity based on approving that mm-hmm. years ago
mm-hmm.
and seeing that new tower and the old tower
yeah.
were still there.
And I think we've been reviewing our ordinance recently, and there's a state law, or maybe it's federal, regarding communications towers where there can't be a condition requiring the removal of the old equipment. So I think we can't even, that wouldn't have even been an option if it makes you.
Okay. No,
it
was just one of those things as part of the discussion of, you know, they can't use the old tower. They had to put in a new tower because of height and everything. And then, then the discussion was that new tower was a replacement of the old tower, and it's been there
mm-hmm.
for, I'm guessing, 3 or 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's in addition to.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just my curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for continuing
yeah.
to follow up on that. Is
Other
there anything
that,
anything
it.
Else? All right. Any comments or discussion among the commission?
Amelia, I would appreciate if either you or Jerry would share with the county attorney's office, when we have a rather thorny issue in front of us that is kind of uncharted territory, I think it would be helpful to have a representative of their office here so that the burden of the onus of procedure does not rest on your shoulders alone.
I would actually push that further and say if this comes back to us, then I would appreciate having somebody present because we will have the HOA and the applicant attorneys present, and so from a county's perspective, I don't know where the ultimate responsibility goes. I don't want to get in trouble as chair for.
Yeah, I'll pass on the message. So.
Please pass it to the county attorney, not Evan or Ethan. Please send it right to the boss.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. All right. If there's nothing further, do we have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Motion by Moore, second by Sherwood. Meeting is adjourned.